Let us pray.
Come, very sun of truth and love, come in thy radiance from above, and shed the Holy Spirit's ray on all we think or do today. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation we find recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3-6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here ends our text. In Christ Jesus, dear beloved, seeing the glory of God with unveiled eyes. That is our theme for this morning. That is the message which Paul presented to the Corinthians, and it is the message which he prepares for us this morning. Paul opens our text by saying that the light of the gospel is veiled only to those who are perishing. For example, he writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 19, these words, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Also, Paul writes later in the second chapter, the 14th verse, "The man without the Spirit of God does not accept those things which come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, for they are spiritually discerned." In these words, Paul places before us the fact that the unregenerate man is unable to understand the very purpose and the very reason behind the cross of Calvary. How can an instrument, which is an instrument of death and defeat, end up being an instrument of victory? It does not make any sense. The idea of the cross and the empty tomb are sheer silliness to him and absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. Now, Paul continues to explain why this is true. He says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Paul says that it is the God of this age who has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. The God of this age is another name for the devil. Satan, the old arch enemy of God, he is the one who is behind all the unbelief and all the unrighteousness of this world. And ever since our foreparents first decided to go against God's will in the Garden of Eden, they have been under the control of Satan. That means that every human being born in the world today is born under the power of the devil. They are born in sin. They are born separated from their heavenly Father. Paul makes an interesting reference. He refers this earlier on in the chapter, the spiritual blindness, as being like a veil which has been placed over the face. In fact, Scripture makes an interesting point of this also. In Exodus 33, verses 34-35, Moses makes the point of saying that he records how he placed a veil over his face so that the children of Israel would be unable to see that the glory of God was fading from his face. And just as Moses placed that veil over his face so that the people could not see that fact, We also, by nature, have a spiritual veil placed over our faces, which does not allow us to see the glory of God in his gospel. And finally, it is not until we are brought to the fact that we are unable to change our lost conditions through the preaching of the law, that the Holy Spirit is able to move in the hearts of men and to shine the light of the glory of God into our hearts and to allow us to see once again. And now Paul continues with a word of warning and a word of recommendation. He writes, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." My friends, it has been my experience in working with many of the pastors of our synod that we all tend to run one major danger. After going through all the years of preparation and training which we must undergo in order to finally reach the final goal of being pastors in the harvest of our Lord, we run the one danger of the possibility of becoming so puffed up just with the knowledge that we know, so puffed up to such an extent that we could lose sight of what it is that we are actually supposed to be preaching and teaching. We have all the knowledge which we have acquired from this fabulous seminary and from one of the greatest faculties within any seminary in our country. And yet Paul reminds us of the fact that we are not to be lords or masters over the congregations which we are to work with, but rather we are to be their servants, servants of the people and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the Lord and head of the church. This was one of the major problems which Paul had to deal with the Corinthian congregation. He writes in his first letter, "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, whom the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." My friends, as long as we remember what our place is in the scheme of God's plan, that we are merely his tools to present the message of the gospel to a sick, dying, sinful world, then that can make the ministry so much more interesting. And now finally, Paul nails his final point home. He writes about the fact that it is the same God who called light out of darkness just by the power of his word in the original creation. And it is that very same God who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, through baptism, who has called each and every one of us into the light of his grace. The Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, has changed every one of us. We are changed from being what was once dead into being alive. We are changed from being what was once blind into seeing. And not only that, but God has called every one of us here for the purpose of preparing ourselves, for the preparation of becoming his ministers in the world, for the purpose of preparing us to go out and to preach the gospel to those who have not heard the message of the love of God in Jesus Christ. May God grant that we, as we prepare, always keep our minds set forth upon him who is the Lord and Master of the church, and that we may go forth with that much more excitement to proclaim to all the love of God in Jesus Christ. God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.